Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 108, Cross Training Basics. When I started running back a long time ago, back when runners were outliers, not really understood by most people and considered even a bit odd, the common belief was that specificity of training ruled. That means you did your sport, practiced it over and over and over. It was particularly an issue with runners that it was considered to be a bad idea to build muscles because muscles would just mean more weight to carry. Well, happily, the tables have turned. As the field of exercise science advanced and years of runners running unfolded, revealing with them lessons in training, in what works and what doesn't, what helps prevent injuries and what makes you faster, what causes injuries and what slows you down, the attitude towards cross-training has changed. Now, cross-training is considered to be not only acceptable, but recommended, even essential. Before we get to that, I want to share some huge news with you. Have you ever found yourself sitting inside on a cold, damp day in January, looking out at gray skies, needing to run, wanting to run, but worried that it wouldn't be safe on the icy streets outside? Have you longed for better weather, but realized, sadly, that it would be weeks or even months before you could return to your usual outdoor training? Now you can escape for a long weekend here with me and lots of other running friends in beautiful Tampa, where the wintertime weather is perfect. You'll get to discover all of our best running venues under blue skies and sunshine. You'll run along the bay shore, where you might even be treated to a dolphin and manatee sighting. I know many of you have seen the videos I've posted of dolphins swimming along just feet from the sidewalk where I run. Imagine a spectacular getaway weekend right smack dab in the middle of winter. Announcing Tampa Running Retreats. We've got it all here. Amazing running venues, famous restaurants, unbelievable weather, and incredible waterfront views. This is happening, and it starts in January of 2017. I've teamed up with Sandy Lake, a longtime runner, coach, event director, and friend, to make this happen. We'll bring Mojo listeners from all over the globe to the Bay Area for long weekends of running paradise, new friends, racing, and more. Some retreat weekends will be focused on one of our world-class local races. The first of those will be the St. Pete Beach Classic, and we're planning others to follow. Then there will also be weekends that are geared only to beginner runners, with two full days of time with me to get new runners started on the right foot with a solid foundation in the basics of sound training and good form. These beginner weekends will provide a great opportunity for experienced runners to get their spouses, friends, partners, or significant others into running. I'll be talking more about the beginner retreats on the Beginner Runner Village podcast. I am so looking forward to finally getting groups of Mojo for Running listeners all together in one place to enjoy a whole weekend of running. This podcast is downloaded in 162 countries. Let's see how many countries and how many states we can get represented here. These retreats will be all-inclusive, including hotel and two meals each day. Just go to TampaRunningRetreats.com to start planning your retreat weekend. Now let's talk about cross-training. First, consider that cross-training really shouldn't be lumped into one broad category. You'll see many running schedules that do this, but I don't think that's a good idea. If you think about it, weight training, cycling, and yoga are extremely different one from the other, and they should be treated differently, I think. They're very, very different. Your body responds differently, and they'll have a different effect on your body. Let's look at why. First, let's take a look at yoga. I love this restorative form of exercise. Everyone will benefit by this nurturing, soothing, balancing, integrative practice that focuses on your body and your spirit. Yoga's benefits are comprehensive, facilitating your ability to run comfortably and reducing the likelihood of injury. But the benefits actually go far beyond that. I'll never forget my first yoga class. The instructor, Jenna, told us to do the happy baby pose. As you probably know, this requires you to be on your back with your arms and legs reaching up into the air. Then you grasp your feet with your hands. Well, most of us runners were so inflexible that we couldn't reach our feet with our hands. I'm sure I looked pretty funny, arms flailing as I reached futilely for my feet, muscles in my hips and legs so tight that my feet were a full foot away from my hands. I looked more like a frenzied beetle on my back, accidentally flipped to my back, than a happy baby. I remember Jenna coming over, looking down at me, and kindly asking if I'd like her to hand me my feet. I said, "Yes, please." She grabbed each of my feet and gradually gently pushed them down until I could reach them. That was an excellent class, my first window into yoga and its potential benefit for runners. Anyway, my original point with yoga is that yoga is nothing like most other forms of cross-training. Once you're accustomed to it, you can safely partake in it any day of the week, despite what running you may have done that same day, with one exception. I would recommend you not take a yoga class after a long run unless you're very accustomed to it and are very careful not to do any extreme moves and not to try anything new. In fact, I will tell you this, sometimes you can do something that's not new that normally would never cause an issue, but if you've worked your body hard in a long run, you could have a problem. This is because activities that would normally be perfectly fine on any other day could result in an injury after a long run, because that's when your body is most susceptible to injury. This is not a fault of yoga. I don't recommend any runner do anything intense or unusual after a long run, even activities that you do on a regular basis. That would even include something like yard work, for example. I suffered my worst injury, and the one that kept me out of running for the longest, a whole year, because of working in my yard, stepping repeatedly on a shovel with my forefoot to outline a flower bed, as I had done many times before. But on this occasion, it was only a couple of hours after I had finished a long run. That was the problem. Not the run, but the combination of the extra stress on my foot when it was already extra stressed from the run. You don't expect this kind of thing to happen. It was a tough lesson to learn. So while I highly recommend yoga, it does seem like it would be a bad idea to do it after your once weekly long run. After that run, just let your body rest and begin its recovery as soon as possible. Yoga is an excellent form of cross-training, and I encourage you to investigate all the opportunities. Some forms of yoga are more strenuous than others, more advanced than others, and I think you should check out a variety of different yogis too, because everyone is different. Once you find a class you like, an instructor or yogi you like, you'll be drawn back to that class again and again. You'll find classes specifically for runners and classes specifically for beginners. Most yoga classes would fit into the category of active recovery. While it certainly does strengthen your muscles and do a lot more, it's definitely not the same as strength training, and it certainly could not be considered cardio. So I would never lump it with those two into the same category or other forms of cross training. That's why I put yoga in a class pretty much by itself. I would, however, put, say, Tai Chi and similar gentle activities into this category. They're all good. A second category of cross-training is strength training. Without a doubt, strength training will go a long way toward helping runners avoid injuries, balance their strength, build strength in weak muscles to make better form possible, and support gains in endurance. From my perspective, strength training is so important that I don't even consider it an option. I consider it absolutely critical and essential. Happily, you don't need a gym or special equipment. You can accomplish all the important strength gains with just your body weight, which is another reason this form of cross-training meshes well with running. Anyone can do it, and it's free. A brief visit to YouTube will supply you with an endless number of exercises for every area of your body. Of course, I do advise that you be careful and sensible when finding exercises this way. When hunting for appropriate exercises, make sure the person recommending them and demonstrating them is a certified, credentialed personal trainer or physical therapist. A third category of cross-training is cardio. This would include rollerblading, cycling, swimming, walking, rowing, elliptical, stair climbing, jumping rope, soccer, and many others. The consideration here is that all these exercises can be performed at varying intensities, and this is what should determine when you do them as regards your running schedule. They can all be aerobic, and some can be anaerobic as well. Cycling, for example, can be quite intense if you want it to be, but it has great benefit even at a much easier and less intense level. You could even use many of these cardio activities for high-intensity interval training, which is fine as long as you warm up thoroughly first and do this on a day when you have a hard workout scheduled anyway. My advice is to keep these activities aerobic, meaning at a lower intensity, most of the time. Remember the 80-20 rule. 80% of your training should be low intensity and 20% can be of a higher intensity. But that 20% includes any intense activities, not just intense running. That's where many people run into trouble. They run hard on their two hard run days during the week, maybe doing hill work or tempo work one day, and then doing speed work on a track one day, plus a long run on the weekend. Three hard days, three hard workouts. Then they add one or two more intense cross-training workouts. Uh-oh, bad idea. If you're not working at an intense level, then do any cardio cross-training on any day of the week. But if you're going to make it an intense workout, it should either be on the same day as one of your hard runs, or it should replace one of your hard runs. And I would not do it on the same day as your hard run. That's your extra long run of the week. Excuse me. I've mentioned before when discussing overtraining that sometimes when you find yourself on a running plateau or even becoming just less fit, slower, it's because you're doing too much too often. This is beyond a doubt the reason most of the time when a runner experiences this disappointing training result. You can't have your cake and eat it too. What I mean is that you can't work hard at training in multiple sports at once. If your main goal is to become a better runner, then for the most part, that's where your intense training needs to be. If you want to really push yourself in a boot camp class or when you're swimming, then you'll need to back off of some of your intense running training. Trying to do too many hard workouts, no matter what activities, will lead to injury and overtraining syndrome. And please remember, when this overtraining effect occurs, it may not be just from running. You can't run three hard days a week and then add a couple of days of hard cross training on your rest days. Pretty soon, you'll discover that your running is suffering, that you're not able to perform as well at anything, and injury is probably right around the corner. If you want to do other cardio besides running or at an intense level, do it on the same day as your hard running workouts, or do it instead. If you usually have three hard running training days per week and 6 days of running overall, why not just replace one of the hard running training days with a hard biking day? Honestly, this may actually make you a faster runner. It may have a better effect than adding one more hard running day. One exception to this, I think, is swimming, at least to some extent. Swimming is very much an upper body centric movement. You can work your arms pretty hard and still have it not have any effect, any negative effect on your running. Do be careful though, because swimming, at least until you're very accustomed to it, will tire you out, and that can leave you tired, impacting your training overall. So when you first add swimming to your training, I would add it to a hard training day or replace a hard running workout with it until your body is accustomed to it. I'll do a whole episode about swimming because it is quite different from most other cross training, and it will have an excellent impact on your overall fitness for a variety of reasons. I love swimming, and that really was my first sport, so I love to talk about it. From my point of view, as regards cardio cross training, I think swimming and biking are outstanding. I imagine rowing is as well, but I don't have any direct experience or knowledge of that. It's on my bucket list, though. Where I live, across the street from the Hillsborough River, where it enters Tampa Bay, I see rowing crews every day, especially in the winter, when many college teams come here to train when their hometown weather makes training difficult. I'm super interested to give it a try. Let's look at the reasons to cross train. One, it's fun. Seriously, cross training adds variety. Consider that any exercise besides running could be considered cross training. How about rollerblading, swimming, stand-up paddleboarding, cycling, soccer, elliptical? Yes, you get the idea. Running is great. It's our favorite sport, but variety is the spice of life, and spending some time doing other forms of exercise is a nice change, even for me. Two, other forms of exercise strengthen different muscles and muscle groups while giving running muscles more rest. Exercises such as running and biking, because they're not load-bearing, provide an opportunity for more aerobic conditioning each week with less risk of injury. In this way, they allow you to increase your training and improve your running fitness without actually running. Three, they build different functional movement patterns. Some, such as cycling, will have a great impact on improving your running form. For this reason, I recommend biking to all runners. Four, cross-training enables you to work around less than optimal weather conditions. Swimming and biking, for example, are more bearable in summer's hottest months, and training on an elliptical or working out at the gym is possible even in the worst weather. Five, cross-training creates opportunities for family involvement. Cross-training can include the whole family. Vigorous hikes can be a family adventure. Snorkeling, especially with fins, is an excellent leg workout. Those fins help improve flexibility and strengthen your ankles. If you have kids, then they probably have jump ropes. Get in the habit of jumping rope with them every day. We used to have competitions in my family to see who could jump the most times without missing. And how about hula hoops? Do you remember those? Did you know there are adult hula hoops now? Yep. They're bigger around, which makes it actually easier. You can actually make them out of tubing that you buy at the home improvement store. I used to have a dozen of them that I made for my runners, and I'd have my runners hula hoop for 1 minute between each running repetition. So maybe we'd do 8 quarter miles. In between, during the rest periods, I'd require them to hula hoop for a minute. Can you imagine how much fun that was? Everybody really loved it. If you want to make your own hula hoop, by the way, go on YouTube and you can find some instructions that tell you how much tubing to buy, how to put it together, etc. If you have kids of elementary age, they will love the hoops or the jumping rope. Biking, too, can be a great family activity. Look at cross training as a way to sneak in more exercise time while also being with the family. Number six. Some forms of exercise will greatly improve your power, and great power means less ground time with each running step. I'm talking here about what we call plyometric exercises. These are jumping-type exercises. Depending on your current fitness level, you may need to start with just hopping 10 times across a room and adding more repetitions with each workout. Then move up to box jumps to a low box and build up to a higher box later. This is intense, but it will have a great impact on your running. Take it slow and easy, and don't overdo, though. Most gyms will have different sizes of boxes for this purpose. Number seven, buy yourself an agility ladder. These look like a rope ladder, except instead of ropes, they're made of heavy-duty nylon straps. You can buy these online for about $20. You don't climb them, even though they are called ladders. They're called ladders because they look like a ladder. You stretch them out on the ground and run through them, stepping in and out of each section in different patterns. This is harder than it sounds and will really have your heart racing, or at least it will get your heart elevated a good bit. These have been used by running coaches as part of running workouts for years. Greater agility will certainly improve your running form, help to prevent injuries, and reduce ground contact time when you run. Every agility ladder will come with suggestions of different agility exercises to do. Plus, of course, you can find plenty of examples on YouTube. But you don't have to even buy an agility ladder. You can actually draw an agility ladder on the driveway with chalk. This is another activity that the kids will love doing right alongside of you. But be prepared, though. They're probably better at it than you. Number eight. Cross training reduces injuries by strengthening muscles in ways they're not strengthened by running, creating better balance of strength. Muscle imbalances are a major contributor to injuries, so a wide variety of other kinds of exercises, a wide variety of types of cross training, will be a hedge against this problem by not only strengthening other muscles, but also using them through a greater range of motion. How about that? That's a lot. That's plenty of reason to be cross-training. If you haven't been doing much in the way of cross-training, I hope this podcast will provide motivation, not only to do more cross-training, but to make a point of including cross-training from all three categories. And remember that more variety is better, so switch it up from week to week and month to month. Get out there and try cycling, rollerblading, stand-up paddleboarding, rowing, swimming, soccer, elliptical, yoga, Pilates, dancing, stair climbing, hiking, hula hooping, jump roping. You get the idea. Now, if you haven't yet done so, I encourage you to go to my Mojo for Running website and download my guide to my 10 favorite pieces of running gear. And don't forget to be thinking about Tampa Running Retreats. I sure am excited to know that I'll get to share a great running retreat with many of you in 2017. Finally, a chance to get lots of Mojo for Running listeners together. That is going to be so great. I'm guessing some people will decide to make it a yearly event, providing a means of unifying the worldwide Mojo for Running community. This podcast, like I said, is downloaded all over the world. Let's see how many countries we can get here. Now, here's today's quote. There are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if everything is a miracle. That's from Albert Einstein. I'll be back soon.